Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Clinical Pharmacy Manager Zara Mahmood Jafari from the University of Kansas Health System and Dr. Barry Paul from Atrium Health Levine Cancer Institute spoke about key takeaways from the 2026 National ICE-TEED Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina. The conversation focused on sessions dedicated to CAR T-cell therapies and bispecifics, as well as future initiatives in the field. One of the key sessions from the ICE-TEED Conference in Charlotte focused on CAR T and cellular therapy innovations. What were some of the key takeaways or talking points from that session, particularly as they relate to possible advances in multiple myeloma, lymphoma, leukemia, and other populations?
Yeah, one of the biggest takeaways from the ICE-TEED conference and the CAR T and cellular therapy session was how quickly we're moving from innovation to optimization in diseases like multiple myeloma, lymphoma, and even in some leukemias. The question is no longer, does CAR T work? It's how do we deliver it better, earlier, and to more patients? We're seeing really strong momentum toward earlier in-line use, particularly in multiple myeloma and, of course, in large B-cell lymphoma, along with ongoing work to improve durability of response and reduce relapse. There is also a lot of discussion around perhaps next generation constructs, things like dual targeting CARs and strategies to overcome antigen escape. From an operational standpoint, the conversation has really shifted toward access. And, you know, this access is something we've talked about for a really long time, but this is inclusive of not only reducing vein-to-vein time, of course, expanding manufacturing capacity, and then building outpatient models really safely. But I think the pharmacists and health systems and other interdisciplinary team members are playing a critical role translating these advances into something not only scalable, but sustainable.
So I think there was a lot of really interesting data that was presented, specifically the data for Carvykti and you know, the long-term PFS data, which now shows a 30% continued PFS in patients over 5 years out from their infusion. So that means that they have had no further therapy for over 5 years and remain in a disease-free state, which is really excellent. So that is very, very encouraging. And we hope to see that continue to be the case. And we also hope that by bringing Carvykti and other CAR Ts into earlier lines of therapy, we may continue to see that number of patients who are potentially cured rise. And hopefully, one of the things that I think is becoming more and more obvious is that we need to find appropriate biomarkers to determine who these curable patients may be and, you know, make sure that those patients get CAR T as early as possible and you know, maximize our chance to get a long-term benefit and perhaps even cure.
Thank you very much for providing an overview of that session. Another one was dedicated to bispecific antibodies and T-cell engagers. So what developments or advances in those areas have the potential to elevate the quality of care for these different patient populations based on what was said there?
Yeah, the bispecific antibodies and T-cell engagers are really redefining accessibility in immune effector cell therapy. Unlike CAR T, these are off-the-shelf options, and these allow us to treat patients much more quickly, especially those who may not be candidates for cellular therapy in that traditional sense. What stood out at the meeting is how rapidly these agents are evolving, not just in multiple myeloma, but across lymphoma and some of the solid tumors as well. And we're seeing improved step-up dosing strategies, better mitigation of toxicity such as cytokine release syndrome, and then really growing comfort with outpatient administration. I think what's most exciting is their potential to bridge gaps in care for our patients in maybe rural locations. They can serve as a bridge to CAR T. They can be an alternative for patients who relapse post-CAR T or even move into earlier lines of therapy and we use them earlier altogether. From a systems perspective, they are forcing us to rethink care delivery models because now we need that infrastructure that supports both high acuity monitoring, but also outpatient flexibility.
I think the Dara and teclistamab data was very, very encouraging. And what this data showed is that in first relapse in len refractory patients, daratumumab plus teclistamab, that combination has shown unprecedented PFS, well over 80% in a, you know, previously less heavily pretreated population. So again, moving these agents into earlier lines of therapy suggests that you're getting additional benefit versus utilizing them in later lines of therapy. And the hypothesis behind that is that you know, by utilizing less heavily pretreated T cells, we're able to allow those patients to get a better response to using T cell redirecting therapies. One of the unknown areas in this space, though, is with T cell bispecifics or bispecifics for myeloma, you know, is fixed duration going to provide similar benefit to long-term use? Because we don't want to overtreat patients for various reasons. Number one, it does select for a T cell exhausted phenotype. Number two, it does predispose them to more infectious risks. So if there's a sweet spot where we can treat for perhaps 2 years and then discontinue therapy and still see the long-term benefit, that would be ideal for the bispecifics.
There was a keynote lecture at the meeting. What were some of the key takeaways from the meeting's keynote lecture on the future of cell therapies and bispecific antibodies? And what emerging platforms, pipeline developments, other anticipated shifts in clinical practice may occur across these different populations?
Of course, the keynote is always a really special event. It really highlighted that we're entering a phase of convergence across our immune effector platforms. You know, we now have CAR T, we have bispecifics, and we have newer approaches like trispecific antibodies and allogeneic cell therapies that are starting to blur our traditional treatment lines. You know, a few key themes that stood out. First, the push toward off-the-shelf cellular therapies, which really is going to significantly reduce some of the logistical barriers that we have come to appreciate with our currently available products. Second, the development of multi-targeted approaches to improve durability and prevent resistance is another important target. And then lastly, the integration of these therapies into earlier lines of treatment, really by requiring more, really being able to have more patients be eligible for these types of therapies. So from a clinical practice standpoint, what this means for me moving forward, or things to look out for, is we're moving toward a more complex decision-making landscape. It won't be about choosing if whether or not you're going to use immunofactor therapy, but which one, when, and in which sequence. And that has really major implications for care coordination, toxicity management, and payer strategy too.
Yeah, this was really exciting. So Dr. Sullivan was kind enough to share his experience with utilizing cellular therapies and T-cell redirecting therapies in other disease areas, not just the oncologic space, so specifically in rheumatology, and some of the autoimmune disorders, which have been previously uncontrolled, untreatable, uncurable, I guess is the way to say it. So now being able to use things like CAR T, which is a one-time infusion, and see these patients in long-term remission is really incredible. And it sort of builds on the experiences that we've used in the oncology space to now take them into other areas. And I think the sky's the limit. I think, you know, we are at a time where we are able to build on the experiences that we have had and see how we can treat diseases in, you know, in ways that were previously not even imagined. So I think, you know, we as oncologists are lucky in the respect that we have a lot of experience utilizing these agents and understand, you know, their implementation, some of the challenges that, you know, can be seen with side effects and some of the unique issues that are inherent to utilizing these agents. And now it's incumbent upon us to utilize that knowledge to help drive research and exploration in other areas where these agents have the potential to be game changers.
And I know the next ICE-T meeting will be taking place in Orlando this July. How will this iteration build upon the ideas that were recently brought up in Charlotte? What will be sort of the key themes of that upcoming meeting?
Yeah, all of the ICE-T meetings build on this shift from innovation to implementation. So the Orlando meeting is no different. Our goal with ICE-T is to expand access to our community locations and our community providers and meet them where they are. And so Charlotte highlighted what was possible. And again, Orlando will focus on not only possibility, but the focus on operationalizing. And so looking at outpatient models, community-based delivery, standardizing toxicity management across settings, of course, hoping to have a deeper dive into those bispecific integrations, particularly as they move into earlier lines of therapy. And really, what makes ICE-T rather unique is that it's just not about the science, it's about the how. How do we build the workflows, train the teams, and ensure safety while trying to scale these therapies to more patients? The conversation remains, you know, top of mind and something we're hoping to accomplish with all of our ICE-T conferences.
I think what you're seeing is that the field is just taking off. You know, we spoke a little bit about how it's taking off in other disease areas as opposed to just the oncologic spaces. And I think, you know, having these meetings relatively regularly allows us to stay on top of the most recent updates and the most, you know, important data, both in oncology and other areas as well. So, you know, my hope is that the Orlando meeting will just build upon some of the frame that we set in the Charlotte meeting to, you know, further delineate, you know, how we can best utilize these agents, how they can be utilized in other areas, what new targets are out there, because I think, you know, we are only as good as the targets that we can find. You know, we need targets that are specific to the cells that are causing the problem without, you know, over treating to normal cells as well, because that's where toxicities and side effects tend to manifest. So it's really incumbent upon us to find new targets, to find ways to target them in less toxic and more effective ways. So I think, you know, the more data that comes out, the more meetings we need to make sure that we're keeping on top of this and standardizing our practices across the country and world.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.